There we look at Luke and see what kind of family Jesus and his parents, Joseph and Mary, were. So I'd like to look at Luke 2, verses 40 to 52. And in this way, I want to see how his parents were. So let's look at Luke 2, verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given before him to be conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. And in verse 39, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And so we see in chapter 2 that they were so faithful, obedient, and devoted to the law. They were clearly devout Christians who lived a life of faith by example. The passage that we're looking at today leads to the story of Mary and Joseph's journey to Jerusalem with 12-year-old Jesus, who was grown strong and full of wisdom. This is the only thing that is written in the Bible about Jesus's childhood. So let's read today's Bible passage from the New Testament, Luke chapter 2, verses 40 to 52. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, verses 40 to 52. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was with him. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Only Luke writes this story about Jesus when he was 12 years old. How do you think about this passage? Do you think that perhaps Luke wrote this about this event simply because he thought he should write about Jesus as a child, perhaps because no other author had written about it? I believe that Luke did not leave it to us as mere information about what Jesus was like when he was a child, but because it had a very important meaning for us, the Christians who read it. But because in this passage, Luke contrasts the two parents and Jesus. The parents who have expectations for their child, and Jesus who goes in a different direction from their expectation. And the parents who did not understand Jesus' word, while Jesus understood what he had to do and what his mission was. We know that Jesus would, at the age of 30, begin his life work. Yet, he was already prepared at the age of 12. Jesus is God with the Father, and he has a different dimension from Mary and Joseph, who focused on the mission for which he came to this world, the one which God sent him to this place, already at this age. So let's take a closer look and emphasize that Jesus was already prepared. We look at verses 41 to 42. In verse 41, we see they went there every year, and in verse 42, as is customary. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. So we can tell that they were carefully observing the Sabbath and all of the festivals. They go to Jerusalem to participate in the Passover. It doesn't say whether Jesus went to Jerusalem with his parents for Passover. However, at that time, not only the family members, but also relatives and acquaintances, they were traveling together in a large group, as verse 44 says. So I imagine that Jesus must have been going to Jerusalem with everyone since he was a small child. And this is where the happening occurs in verses 43 to 45. The duration of the festival Passover is celebrated for 7 days, and even at that time, Mary and Joseph spent a week in Jerusalem before returning to Nazareth. They spent a whole week, and I think that they participate for the entire period shows their piety toward God and the law. But then they lose sight of their beloved child, Jesus. What is the festival Passover that they went to Jerusalem for? The Passover is a festival which remembers and celebrates the Lord's deliverance of their ancestors from Egypt, the house of slavery, in the Exodus. The festival originates from the time when the bearer of the firstborn child was to put the blood of a lamb on the doorposts and then be passed by the angel of death So this is the day we remember the dead lamb who was put in the place of the firstborn of Israel. When John the Baptist met Jesus, what did he say? He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." And so, who is the hero of Passover? We know from this verse that it is Jesus himself. And yet, Mary and Joseph lost Jesus Christ after they came to celebrate the Passover. In verse 43, although Jesus was still in Jerusalem, his parents did not notice this. And the reason for this, Luke writes in verse 44, they were thinking that Jesus was among the company. I told you earlier that at that time, they would travel up to Jerusalem in a large group, a caravan, full of relatives and acquaintances. And they moved with the women in the front and the men in the back, and the children following whichever way they liked. There is an African proverb that says, "It takes a village to raise a child." And this was true in Israel of the time. The relatives, the acquaintances, everybody in the village would help to take care of a child. And so, in this great group, as a caravan, they went up to Jerusalem. When I was a little girl, I used to go to the supermarket with my mother. And if she couldn't see me, at least a little bit, I was in trouble. She would immediately start shouting my first name in a loud voice. So I learned that I should never leave my mother without telling her, because if I left her, I would be embarrassed. And I think in the same way, if they had been traveling as their family or a small group, Mary and Jesus would not have lost sight of their child. But with a large group, it could well happen. About 4 to 5 years ago, at the barbecue of the youth of Megumi Church, there was a one-day retreat with the youth of a neighboring church, and after the service, we went to the barbecue. After the service was over, and before everyone got into their buses or cars to leave, I went to the chapel to see if anyone had forgotten anything or left anything behind. And when I was about to get on the bus after checking everything, to my surprise, the bus I was supposed to get on had left right in front of me. The bus had gone so far that I couldn't make it even if I ran. I was so surprised that I just stood there, dazed. I had to call and ask the bus to come back. But it was a bus. It would be difficult for it to turn around and be late. And I had to worry a lot, so I walked because it was in walking distance. There were about 30 young people on the bus, but they just thought I had gone with some other bus. And so the reason I was left behind was that everyone thought I was somewhere else, on that bus or another. I think that Mary and the others were traveling in an even larger group than the young men of, or the young people of our retreat. So Mary thought that Jesus was with Joseph and the others, and Joseph thought that Jesus would be with Mary, respectively, and they went on their way for the day without realizing he was not there. How long would it take Mary and Joseph to find Jesus after realizing he was not there? What kind of place do you look for when you are separated from your family? We see that after 3 days, they found Jesus sitting in the middle of the teachers of the temple, listening and asking questions. Why did it take 3 days? Well, don't you look the first place where the person might go? To search, you need to know the person, what he or she might be thinking, where they might go, and so on. And so, we see that Mary and Joseph didn't really know Jesus yet, even though they had lived together for 12 years. They didn't know what he was thinking. They didn't know the kind of person he was, what drove him, what made him do the kinds of things that he did. So they knew about Jesus as a human person and as their child, but they may have forgotten about what the angel said when Jesus was born, that he would be the Son of God. So they looked around for the place where their son Jesus might go, and it took them 3 days just to find him. The angel told Mary and Joseph. We see in Luke verse 1, chapter 1, verses 31 to 33 of Luke. We see, you will conceive and give birth to the Son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Joseph's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. This is Luke chapter 1, verses 31 to 33. And we see in verse 35, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." And how about Joseph? Let's look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. The angel said to Joseph, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Following this prophecy, they lived with Jesus for 12 years, and perhaps they had forgotten that when Jesus was born, they were told that he would be born of the Holy Spirit. He would be the whole Son of God, the Holy One. He would be the one who saves his people from their sins. And so they searched for Jesus as a 12-year-old boy. But on the contrary, let's look at Jesus. As he grew older, he understood his mission, and he focused on God the Father and his purpose. In verse 40 of chapter 2 of Luke, it says, "He was full of wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." And his wisdom and his answers amazed the teachers there, amazed the people, and even Mary and Joseph, as we read in verses 47 to 48 of Luke. We don't know the details of what he said at that time, because it is not written. But there's no doubt that it was something that could not have been expected of a 12-year-old. And the place where they were is also a place, a palace. In the words of Jesus, my Father's house. This is the temple of God in Jerusalem. Through these events, Luke directs our attention to the difference between Jesus and his parents and the different directions they were seeing for his life. To Mary and Joseph, Jesus was still a 12-year-old child in need of their protection. But even before that, before Jesus was a child for them, he was also the Son of God, the Holy One, the Most High, the one who saves his people from their sins. So Luke begins this passage by asking us, who is Christ to you? He seems to be asking us whether we are looking towards the direction in which Jesus is looking. Are we also looking for the human side of Jesus as his parents did? Are we walking our lives without losing sight of the fact that Jesus to us is the Son of God, the Holy One, the one who saves us from sin? When we lose sight of that, like Mary and Joseph, we will only look for places where Jesus is not, and it may take us longer than 3 days. But if we know Jesus, we can find him quickly. His Father's house, the church, of course, is mentioned in a footnote among the Father's people. And in Matthew 18:20, Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I among them." Wherever Christians are gathered together, there Jesus is as well. And he is doing his Father's work. So we know that where God is at work, Jesus is there too. If we have trouble finding Jesus, it is not because we are not trying hard enough, but because we are looking in the wrong place. Luke, in this passage, has taught us where we can find Jesus. We know from the Bible. We know from God's Word. We can find Jesus in God's house. Sometimes verse 49 is translated to be among my Father's people or be about my Father's business. The place where we should look for Jesus is where he is. In Luke, we discover that Jesus himself said, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" That's where we will find Jesus. The place where we worship God the Father and converse with him in prayer. It is the place where we hear the word of God the Father. This is where we see the works of God, hear the word of God, and see the people of God. This is where Jesus is. And so, when we think we are looking for Jesus with all our hearts and we're not finding him, we must know that we're looking in the wrong place. We need to change the place where we look for Jesus. Jesus also tells us where we should stay. As Jesus abided in the God the Father, we should abide in Jesus, in the Word, and we should focus on Jesus. When we drift away from Jesus, we, as Mary and Joseph did, have to rush to find him. In Revelations chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, we see, "You have endured well, you have borne it for my name's sake, and you have not grown worthy, but you have something to blame. You have departed from your initial love. Remember, therefore, whence thou art fallen, and repent and do thy first deeds." And so we are to remember where we fell from, and repent and do the first deeds. We need to be sure that we are walking in the same direction as Jesus toward God the Father every day. It's easy to fall away from our first love, the love of the beginning. What do you think? I think this is the case for all of us. Mary and Joseph themselves showed us this. And when they realized that Jesus was not with them, that they were not with Jesus, they ran to find him. And we too should rush to find Jesus when we realize we have drifted. Jesus tells us where we would stay and what we should do. As Jesus abided in God the Father, so we should abide in Jesus. We should abide in the Word. Jesus stayed in Jerusalem because he was concentrating on God the Father. He was doing God's commands for him. And we too should focus on Jesus and live the mission that we have been given, just as Jesus did. From this time, at the age of 12, Jesus would live another 18 years before he came to his main mission. But each of us should use the new life that God has given us, because God has forgiven us and given us this life for God's sake. In this person, Jesus Christ, we have the life that is essential to living our mission. We are forgiven by God and given new life. This is what Jesus taught us. If we are to have life, we must do God's commands. But without Jesus, we cannot do what God wills. Therefore, we should never become separated from Jesus. You can see where this is heading. We need to focus on God, to focus on Jesus, to know his commands and to obey them. We may be worried. The Japanese Bible, it says that Mary worried, but in other Bibles we see that who is worrying is not clear, and perhaps it's the whole group. And so when someone becomes lost, perhaps they are going to be worried about by all the people. But at that time, we should remember Jesus' word. That to be in God's house is natural to us, as it was natural to Jesus. In this way, we can do our mission for God. Finally, I'd like you to see the times that Jesus lived in and the times that we are living in now. In chapter 2, verse 52, it says, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." There is a footnote in some Bibles that refers to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 2, 26, which is very similar. So Luke writes about Jesus' growth using almost the same words as in Samuel. He is linking them together in this way. The Jewish people for whom Luke was writing have the Old Testament as their base, and so when they hear this verse, they think of Samuel at the same time. So when did Samuel live? He was living in the period of Judges. The Judges is a period when there was no king. And each person did what he or she thought was good based on their own judgment, not necessarily on God. And of course, sometimes there were conflict and the judges resolved them, but they were not rulers in the way a king is. And we see in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, that the absence of the word of God and ignorance of the word of God were rampant. Each person did what he or she thought was good. It was a time when the people did not know the word of God. Samuel's father was Elkanah, a priest of the tribe of Levi. He was involved in worship. But even he had two wives, and nobody thought anything of it. Samuel was born and raised in such a time. Even a priest was living a life outside the word of God, and the people so much more so. You might think that this was a time in which the custom of the people permitted polygyny, but in fact, the word of God said the man and the woman will cleave to each other. And so this is skewed from the standard of God. And so the time when Samuel was born, the time when Samuel worked, was a time when people said, oh, culture permits, so we can do anything. Even the priests ignored the word of God. And so God raised up Samuel as a prophet. He had him born, and he was given the purpose of restoring Israel, which was falling into sin because they had not the word of God. And he would restore Israel by bringing to them again the word of God. And in another way, Luke links Samuel with Jesus. Jesus was also 12 years old when he was convicted of his mission and confessed it in today's passage. And that is the same as for Samuel when he was called by God. Samuel seems to be warning Christians that they do not know God, that they are ignorant of the word and far from the word. And Jesus, too, is warning us that we do not know God, that even as Christians, we are ignorant of the word, far from the word, and this age that we are living in is not so different from the age of Samuel. Jesus warns us of the times we are living in. In John, he warns us about these times. We need to look at the Bible. If we look at John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, we see, he was from the beginning in the world, and the world was made by him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, but his people did not receive him. We see that even though Jesus said, "Isn't it natural for me to be with my father? Didn't you know that this was my role?" His mother and father even did not know. And what about us? Do we know and truly accept that Jesus is the Holy One, the Son of God, the one who saves us from our sins? Are we abiding in the love of the beginning? The love that God created the world with? And so, think, have I strayed from Jesus? And if you have, hurry back to Jesus. So let us pray. Beloved Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us to this place where we can worship you and hear your word. You teach us of the word and of the commands you have given us. Please help us to understand them. In this time, as always, we do not know the word, we do not know you, and we need your help to come to you. And in such a time, to know that you are God, you are the word. You have taught us that you came to save us and to teach us. We give you thanks. You are the beginning of love. We ask that you help us. You have told us not to be separated from you. Please hold us to you that we may not stray. And through your word, we want to know Jesus deeply. We want to know you deeply, ever more deeply. And we want to make our relationship with you deeper. You who are the Holy Spirit, please help us in this. We leave all things in your hands, and in the name of our beloved saving Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.